Okay, we're good to go there. All right, excellent. Good to see you tonight as we open the Word of God together. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, please, as we continue with the theme, Endure Hardness. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This is the theme that we find in the verses before us in chapter 2, verse 1 through 13. And Paul has been encouraging Timothy, his student, his son in the faith, to be faithful. And we looked at a number of key areas, didn't we, in chapter 1 of faithfulness. But now in chapter 2, he exhorts him to be steadfast, to endure the hardness, the hardships, the trials that will accompany the ministry of the gospel. And he is to faithfully fulfill the duties of the Christian life with that courage and determination that is needed in order to keep going on for the Lord. And so what we're going to do tonight is read the first 13 verses together, and then we'll have a word of prayer and we'll get into our text tonight. Okay, the Bible reads, verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboureth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the word of God and the admonition and the exhortation to us to be faithful, to endure hardness as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to have endurance as believers, to not be quitters. Lord, to run with patience, as Hebrews says, the race that is set before us, looking, Lord, not to ourselves, not to others, Christians even, but looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so, Lord, tonight we pray that your people would be stirred and encouraged, Lord, to this end, that we might be faithful, that we might endure, that, Lord, we might be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask these things now in his name and for his sake. Amen. All right, you remember I gave you the outline for the 13 verses that we're looking at last week. We're looking at, we looked at number one, the empowerment for endurance in verse one. And then the second point, the examples of endurance. And we looked at just a couple of those. Lord willing, tonight we will complete looking at the rest of the examples. And then thirdly, the encouragement for endurance, verse 8 through 13. So we have the empowerment for endurance, verse 1, the examples of endurance, verse 2 through 7, and then the encouragement, what will motivate us towards endurance, verse 8 through 13. So just to recap briefly on what we covered last lesson, in verse 1 we looked at the empowerment for endurance, that the strength for us to be faithful, the strength to endure in the Christian life comes from the Lord. Be strong, he says, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So as believers, we are to consciously avail ourselves of the strength which God supplies. And we have this interesting balance in the Christian life. There is, in a sense, a passive side. We are dependent upon the Lord for everything in the Christian life. But our will is involved as well. We are to consciously and actively avail ourselves of the grace that God has supplied. We are to, in faith, appropriate these things to our lives. And someone has explained that the will in us is like a switch. There is no power in our will, but the will connects us to the power source. And that's really the picture we have, okay? So we're not talking about working up some sort of strength in our own emotions or our own lives, but it is a strength that we can lay hold of that God is willing to supply. And then we looked at some examples of endurance, and that Timothy was to endure hardness as he was faithful in the teaching of others and so on. So we had a number of areas in which Timothy was to endure faithfully, and of course us as well. We looked last week at the fact he was to be a teacher, verse 2. He was to commit the things that he had learned in the Apostle Paul to faithful men who could in turn then teach others. And then we looked at the fact that he was to be a soldier. So a teacher, verse 2, a soldier, verse 3 and 4, and some important lessons there about the soldier's focus and discipline and faithfulness. His allegiance, his sole allegiance is to the great captain of his salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one driving passion of the Christian soldier is to please his master, to please his Lord and sovereign, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, tonight we pick up now in verse 5 as we continue to look at a couple of other examples here that Timothy was to faithfully seek to be in his Christian life. So we have verse 5 now, a runner. Okay, so a teacher, verse 2. A soldier, verse 3 and 4, and now we see the picture of a runner. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. All right, so the picture here is of the Olympian, the contestant in the games. And interesting, this word strive actually is the Greek word athleo. And our English words athletics and athlete come from this word, okay? So Paul says, I want you to athleo for masteries, or if you are striving for masteries, okay, you're trying to win the prize in the games, he says you must strive lawfully, okay? Now, of course, Paul is not here encouraging Timothy to be to get involved in the Greek games. That's not what he's saying. He's simply taking a picture that was very well understood in his day. Okay, the Greek games were very, very popular, and even amongst the Romans as well, athletics. And the training regime was very stringent. They would often undergo 10 months of preparation before they got to the games. And then they were to strictly follow the rules of the contest, whichever contest that they would be involved with, if they hoped to receive the laurel wreath or the crown, the victor's crown at the end. And so Paul says, he says quite clearly, if a man strive for masteries, if somebody is involved in athletics, they are only crowned if they strive lawfully. And so the clear lesson for us as believers is this, that as we strive in the Christian race, as we strive in the Christian life, we can only expect rewards if we play according to the parameters set out for us in God's Word. This is very important tonight. You know, as Christians, we need to understand that if we're going to please God, we have to get a hold of what's in this book. If we're going to glorify God, if our desire is to be rewarded one day, and there are crowns that God speaks about in His Word for His people, then we must run according to the rules. Now, this is important in a day when many people say, "Well, it doesn't really matter in a sense about." I mean, we don't need to go too far with this matter of obedience as long as my heart's sincere. But may I just say tonight that sincerity is not the ultimate test of the Christian life. Obedience is. Obedience. You see, you can be sincere and sincerely wrong. There are many people out there today that are sincere and even passionate about what they do, but if it's not in accordance with the Word of God, then it counts for nothing so far as eternal rewards are concerned. You see, we need to be serious about bringing our lives into conformity with the Word of God, just like the ancient runners and even today. those that contest in the Olympic Games or other similar, you know, national or international sporting exercises have to stay within the rules or they are disqualified. And there are stories, there are many stories, aren't there? We're probably all familiar with some stories of those who perhaps appeared to win a contest but then had to be disqualified because they had broken the rules. And it's the same in the Christian life. If we desire rewards, then we need to bring our lives into conformity with the Word of God. So obedience to the regulations governing the contest was essential. As Fairbairn says, the athlete is to adhere strictly to the prescribed rules as this alone entitles him to obtain the crown of victory, even if his striving has been sincere and sacrificial. Now, it's important that we are sincere. It's important that we are passionate about the work of God, but our passion and our sincerity and our zeal must be governed by the Word of God and informed by the Word of God. Do you understand? Very important. Well, but Pastor, you know, I mean, look, these believers over here, you know, we shouldn't be critical. I mean, I know that, you know, rock and roll in church is not a good idea, but they're so sincere. Do you know that there are many examples in the Word of God of people who did things sincerely and God judged them because it was wrong, it was disobedient? Think of Uzzah for a moment. He was sincere, wasn't he, in the Old Testament there, when he reached out and tried to stay the ark. I mean, most of us would say, what a noble thing to do, but God struck him dead. Why? Because it was disobedience. And you can be sincere, but if you are sincerely in disobedience to the Word of God, then God is not interested in that. What did Samuel have to say to Saul? I mean, Saul said, well, I mean, look, I know I've disobeyed the Lord. I've sort of partially obeyed him here. But it's okay, Samuel. The people want to sacrifice to the Lord. We're going to make something good out of the situation. And Samuel says, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. And the danger we have today is that many of God's people are not running the race within the parameters set out by the Word of God, and if we're going to expect to receive any rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to have to get serious as believers about this book right here and making sure that we are striving and that we are living our lives in accordance with the Word of God. If a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Now, it's not to disparage those who truly know the Lord. We love all those who know Christ as Saviour. But we cannot overlook compromise simply because it is done sincerely. Okay? Are you following me? It's important you get a hold of this in this day. Oh, well, they've got a good heart. Well, okay, but is it in accordance with the Word of God? That's what we need to be concerned about. So we have the picture there of the runner. And the principle being one of discipline and of adherence to the rules of the game. We see very clearly the lesson there for us as believers. Then we have the picture of the farmer, verse 6. So, teacher, soldier, runner, farmer, verse 6. The husbandman that laboureth must be first partaker of the fruits. A husbandman is literally a tiller of the soil. So the picture is one of farming. And we understand that in farming there is labour. Labour. Labour, the word labour there means to toil to the point of weariness and exhaustion. Every farmer knows the reality of this, that there is wearisome toil and labour with the soil in order to see something produced. And this is the picture of the Christian life. There is labour. There is to be sacrifice and there is to be service for the Lord. And when we do that, we see that there is a reward because the husbandman that laboureth, he says, must be first partaker of the fruits. All right, if you're a farmer, or maybe you even just grow a vegetable garden, it's rewarding, isn't it? When you labour and weed and water and nurture those plants to see the fruit that is produced, it takes time and effort, doesn't it? You know, there are blessings for those who labour in the work of God. There are. I mean, really, this, you say, why is it that we're constantly emphasising serving the Lord in the local church? Well, because you really do miss out on a blessing if you don't serve the Lord. Look, there's weariness involved. The Bible recognises that. As I said, the word labour there has the idea of toiling to the point of exhaustion and weariness, but are the blessings and of seeing some fruit for the labour. Keeps you going, doesn't it? All the labour in the place of prayer, sweating it out in a night of prayer, weekly on the prayer clock, praying in your personal life, and then to see a soul saved and think, do you know what, praise God, I prayed for that person and my prayers just had just a tiny little piece in the puzzle for that person. And that's seen the fruits of labour. Or maybe you labour out there and get involved in the soul winning ministry, and you may do it for many years, and then someone comes as a result and maybe gets saved. And these are the blessings that the faithful servant can expect to see. This applies to all of God's people, but Paul speaking here to Timothy is a pastor, a man in ministry, and he says here that the husband that laboureth must first be partaker of the fruits. And so there are special blessings and rewards for those who are faithful in the ministry. It's very encouraging to see the fruits and what the Lord is doing in hearts and lives. And this helps us to endure some of the hardships and some of the trials. It's amazing how the Lord will often at times, in times of intense times of trial and hardship, will reveal some of those fruits to encourage you. There's more going on behind the scenes sometimes than we realise. To hear someone say the other day, testify that her experience of the church here is that it is a church that is desperate to keep God's presence. And to hear the testimony that to see the all night of prayer, this sister said it's like seeing the things you read about in the Bible come to life. Now, we're not saying that to blow our bags or to exalt ourselves. I'm just saying that these are the fruits of what is going on. Sometimes we can be so caught in the storm and see the hardships that we miss sometimes enjoying seeing some of the fruit of what's actually happening. We can lose focus. But God is at work. Souls being saved, baptised, believers progressing in the Lord. These are all things that we can rejoice in. So one commentator says, those who endure hardship and sacrifice for God's work enjoy blessings that others know not. Are you a labourer? Are you a tiller of the soil for the Lord? It's hard work. It requires endurance. It requires stickability. It requires dogged faithfulness at times to stick it through in season, out of season. Every farmer, again, understands this. There are times of drought. There are times of abundance. But we must continually and faithfully till the soil and endure. And as we do that, we will reap if we faint not. All right. So we have the examples of endurance there. A number of areas, pictures of the Christian life. Teacher, soldier, runner and a farmer. Now, number three, the encouragement for endurance, and this is found in verse 6 through 13. Verse 7 through 13. All right, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things. See, Paul is speaking about endurance there. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. You say, what's the connection of all of this to what has preceded? Well, Paul now gives Timothy some motivation and some encouragement to endure, and there are four things that will motivate us and encourage us, like Timothy of old, to endure and to keep on keeping on. Firstly, meditation on the word, verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. All right, so Paul has just outlined these examples in the previous verses about being a soldier and a faithful a runner, and so on. And now he says, I want you, Timothy, to consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding in all things. And so there is, Paul essentially says, there is more encouragement, there is more blessing to be brought to you, Timothy, as you ponder on these things. This is a very important exercise, meditation on the Word of God. In fact, in this verse, we really have the twofold process for understanding the Word of God. One is the human side and the other is the divine side. To consider what I say, that's the human side. That's my responsibility to not just read the Word of God, but then to turn my, to exercise my mind upon it, to think upon the Word of God. And as I do that, as I diligently think and ponder upon the Word of God, then the Lord enlightens me and gives me understanding. Can you see how important it is to study the Word of God? Some say, oh, look, I'm not really a student of the Word of God. I just rely on the Holy Spirit. No, there is no contradiction between the two. As you diligently apply your mind, as Paul encouraged Timothy to do here, as you consider what the Word of God has said, then the Lord gives understanding. It's amazing, actually, how maybe through scripture memory or just pondering on the things of God, the Holy Spirit will bless that and honour that and illuminate you and grant you understanding of His Word. Yes, so Christian meditation, something is lost art today, isn't it? Now, when we talk about meditation, we're not talking about an Eastern form of meditation like yoga, where we sit in a lotus position and clear our mind of all thoughts and go, that's not what it's talking about, okay? When we talk about Christian meditation, it's actually the mind being exercised upon the Word of God, okay? And this is important. You know, it's interesting in Joshua 1:8, you will find the only time the word success, and it's the only time the word success appears in the entire Bible. One time. There's a lot of talk today about success, isn't there? We want to be successful in the ministry and successful in this. Only one time in the whole Bible will you find the word success, and it's in Joshua 1:8. This law shall not depart. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And I can't quote it all from memory there, but we're to meditate upon it day and night, and then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good what? Success. So, Paul says, consider what I say. That's the human side of understanding the Word of God. Then the divine side, the Lord give the understanding in all things. So this will give us encouragement. This is an encouragement to us when we ponder some of these things. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I mean, these words, as we ponder upon them, as we think about them, they will spur us on and encourage us in the work of God. 2 Timothy has personally been a great source of encouragement and blessing to me as a book. And there was, just to share a personal testimony, it was 1 week last year and things were a bit tough. And every day I'd come down to the office, the first thing I would do is walk around the outside of the building and quote my way through the book of 2 Timothy. I did that every single day and it encouraged my heart, strengthened me. And still, to this day, if I'm having a downer, usually I'll quote through this book. And it's a blessing. And so meditate on the Word of God and memorise it and hide it in your heart. So that's the first thing that will encourage us. Number two, the memory of Christ's resurrection. Verse 8. Remember, he says, that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Boy, won't that encourage you to keep going. Things get tough. There's trials maybe in a family or in the church or whatever it be. What will help you to keep on keeping on? Just remember, you serve a risen Saviour, as the hymn writer says. He's in the world today. I know that he is working, whatever man may say. What a blessing. And so Paul says, Timothy, I want you to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want you to be faithful. And then Timothy says, look at Christ. He holds up before Timothy a risen Saviour. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And that'll encourage us when we realise we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We serve the true and living God and we serve a risen Saviour. That'll spur us on. Then we have the mentor Paul as well. So we have meditation on the word, verse 7, the memory of Christ's resurrection. That'll also encourage us in to endure for the Lord. And then the example of Paul, the mentor Paul, verse 9 through 10. wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, he says, even under bonds, but the word of God is not bound, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. So Paul was an example of what he required of Timothy in verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul now turns to himself and uses himself as an example to inspire and to encourage Timothy to be faithful, to endure hardness. So Paul talks about some of the details of his sufferings there in verse 9. He suffered trouble. Why did he suffer trouble? Well, because of the gospel he'd mentioned in verse 8. Wherein brings that out. Okay, wherein points us back to gospel in verse 8. And the phrase there, suffer trouble, is the same word translated endure hardness in verse 3 and also endure afflictions in chapter 4, verse 5. All right, so Paul is here an example to Timothy and, of course, to us as well, of someone who stuck it through the difficult times for the glory of God, for the gospel's sake. So we see Paul's sufferings there in verse 9. He suffered trouble. There were hardships, there were trials, there were afflictions because of the gospel, and he suffered those as an evildoer, even unto bonds. Amazing, isn't it, how that a godly person like the Apostle Paul could be treated as an evildoer. Do you know that living for the Lord can get you into a lot of trouble? Being faithful to the gospel can get you into a lot of trouble. It's amazing how the tide has turned even in our nation, and we are now seen as the evil ones in society, simply because we want to stick to the word of God. Paul knew what this was, to be misrepresented, to be branded as a troublemaker and as a evil person. In fact, this phrase evildoer is the word malefactor, which is the same word that was used to describe the criminals crucified alongside the Lord Jesus in Luke 23. Remember that, how the two malefactors were led out to be crucified with him? Well, that word malefactor comes from the same Greek word that is translated here as evildoer. So what this means is that Paul was being treated as a common condemned criminal simply for being faithful to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Just remember that as if you have a preacher that is endeavouring to be faithful to the word of God, it's not going to be unusual for him to be represented as someone who's evil. Or, you know, paint the preacher with horns and whiskers, okay? We get those as we get older anyway, but there you go. So evildoer, even unto bonds, he said. So this was the extent of his sufferings. He suffered for the gospel's sake to the point where he was imprisoned and even chained for the gospel. But I love how he ends the verse there, but the word of God is not bound. What a picture there, hey? He says, I'm imprisoned, I'm bound, I'm being treated as an evildoer. He says, but God's word is unstoppable. God's word cannot be shackled. You can shackle God's messenger, you can imprison the Christians, you can torture and persecute the Christians, but God's word is of such potency and such power that the most evil and most powerful men in this world and the regimes of this world cannot stop it. I mean, history is a testament to that. I mean, has there been any other book like the Bible that has come under such severe attack? I mean, literally burned, and those who sought to preach it butchered and burned at the stake and imprisoned. This book has been a blood-stained book, a book that has been fiercely opposed, and not just even with the persecution side of things, but assailed by satanic opposition in the form of heresies down through the ages, but it still stands. And in even some of the most repressive regimes today, where the word of God is repressed and where there is an attempt made to stamp out the word of God, yet the word of God cannot be shackled. In fact, as I read this story recently about this communist man who was in the secret police and eventually converted, he said it seemed like they were going into Christian meetings, they'd somehow get their intelligence out there, find out where the Christians were meeting, they'd get in there and treat them brutally, beat them up and even kill them at times, and take the leaders off to prison, but it said it seemed like the more that they were trying to stamp it out, the more it kept growing and growing. That's the word of God. It's powerful. You cannot shackle this book. Why is that? Well, it's a sharp two-edged sword, isn't it? It's a fire, the Bible says. It is a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces, and you can incarcerate God's men. You can try and silence God's men, but you will never stop the advance of the Word of God. You will never be able to find, there is no power in this world that can bind the power that is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has power to break through the iron curtains of this world. It has power to infiltrate the most satanic regime and see people saved and changed. So we have the details of Paul's sufferings there in verse 9. And this would encourage Timothy. Paul was willing to endure the afflictions of the gospel, even to imprisonment, to a place of disgrace and shame. And so that is to encourage Timothy that he too can endure for the Lord. But we see there was a purpose in Paul's sufferings, and this is what helped Paul endure. Because he said in verse 10, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." So, Paul, what was it that kept you going? I mean, read sometime the catalogue of Paul's sufferings. You know, stoned at Lystra and, you know, a night in the deep and thrice beaten with rods, something like that. Just incredible. And he could say, couldn't he, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." You say, Paul, what was it that gave you that tenacity? What was it that kept you going? What was it that helped you to endure? And he said, in essence, because I know that through what God is doing in my life, that precious souls are going to be saved. He said, "I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." So Paul was a vessel that God used to see precious souls saved. And Paul says, "I continue to endure." Why? For the other precious people out there that are also going to be saved. You know, that'll keep you faithful, won't it? That'll help you. You know, there are times in a local church when things are just going great and things are easy. There are times when things are maybe a little bit more rough and the sailing's a bit rough and the wind blows and howls around, and there are seasons. The churches go through seasons at times, seasons of blessing and growth and seasons maybe of pruning or seasons of distress and trial. You say, what's going to help us get through, Pastor? What's going to help us to endure? Well, this, just stay with it, because souls are still getting saved and souls are going to be saved, and you need to be faithful in the place where God wants you. There's a much bigger picture to your sufferings than just you and me. And that's what kept Paul going. I endure these things. I bear under these things. Why? For the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Keeps you going, doesn't it? Nothing like seeing a few folks weep their way to the feet of Jesus to keep you faithful. Keep you going. Nothing like sharing the gospel with somebody and just keeping your focus on what we're really supposed to be here for. You know, just amazing. Last year there was 1 month there where we had what appeared to be a genuine profession of faith every single week for a whole month. And, you know, Brother Blacko, amazing, there, 80-year-old man, weeping his way into the office, weeping his way back out of the office. And others, just amazing to see how God will work, and that'll help us to endure. We're talking about now encouragement to endure. Remember that in the hardships that accompany the ministry, in the hardships that accompany the gospel work, there is a much bigger picture involved. And Paul said, this keeps me going. I'm going to endure this. I'm going to go through the shame. I'm going to go through the reproach, because there are other precious souls that I anticipate will be saved. So we have the mentor Paul, encouragement for Timothy, encouragement for us. Then fourthly, the motivation of rewards, verse 11 through 13. We've already hinted at rewards back in verse 5, the crown, if we strive lawfully. But now we have some specifics here. It is a faithful saying. This is one of the key phrases in the pastoral epistles. Now, we know the Word of God is always to be taken seriously, no matter what it says. But when the Bible specifically says this particular statement is a trustworthy, a faithful saying, surely we should sit up and take note. He says, "For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." So Paul has in mind now some future rewards. And it's not just all positive. There's also the warning there that we can lose rewards. So here are the rewards. We will live with Christ. Verse 11, that's a blessing, isn't it? If we be dead with Christ. Okay, we know the believer, Romans 6, has been united with Christ in his death, burial and resurrection. If we have been united with Christ through salvation in his death, we know in the future we shall also live with Christ. That'll encourage you, won't it? That's a reward, isn't it, to one day be with the Lord Jesus, to hear maybe his well done, good and faithful servant. That'll keep you going. That'll keep you enduring when you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus. We will reign with Christ. That's a reward, isn't it? I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? To think that we will reign as kings with the Lord Jesus. "Know you not," said Paul elsewhere, "that we shall judge angels?" We're destined to a high and lofty future with the Lord. And so that'll help us to endure. But then we can also lose rewards, and this is what's in view in verse 12. If we deny him, he also will deny us. This is not speaking of loss of salvation. I think a good illustration of what this could be would be Peter. Peter was a disciple of the Lord. Peter knew the Lord. We'd all agree with that, wouldn't we? But Peter he denied the Lord, and he felt the reproach of that, the disappointment, as it were, of the Lord in that failure. This is what's in view here. Not that if we deny the Lord somewhere in our lives as Christians that he will reject us as far as salvation is concerned, but there will be some sort of censure to us if we fail to endure, if we are unfaithful to the Lord. The Lord Jesus spoke about this in Matthew 10:33 and Mark 8:38. Let me read those verses for you. "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Mark 8:38. "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Not loss of salvation, but what a terrible thing, rather than hearing the well done, good and faithful servant, to see perhaps the Lord Jesus maybe just look at us like he did with Peter, and that look conveys it all. "You were unfaithful to me." So we can lose rewards, and the Bible tells us this. The judgment seat of Christ is, in a sense, a thing to look forward to, because if we've been faithful to the Lord, we can look forward to rewards. But it's also a very sobering thing, because 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that we can suffer loss, not the loss of salvation, but the loss of rewards for being unfaithful. But even when we have our ups and downs, we can still rest in God's faithfulness, because verse 13 says, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." So see the picture there of denial, verse 12. We can deny him, but the Lord will not deny himself, verse 13. When it talks here about not believing, again, the context here is talking to Timothy as a believer, not talking about the unbelief that characterises a lost person. But we can be unfaithful to the Lord, or we can doubt him at times. But even when we are up and down and unfaithful in our Christian lives to him, he always remains faithful to us. He abideth faithful. Aren't you glad about that? As Lamentations 3 says, "His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." We all know we have those times, but the Lord remains faithful to us, steadfast and sure. So that will encourage us towards this matter of endurance. Consider the rewards, the potential rewards. There are some that we'll all enjoy. For example, living with him and reigning with him. These are for all of God's children. But the whole principle of rewards is drawn out here. Will there be rewards gained, crowns gained because of striving lawfully? and faithfully and enduring, or will there be that shame and that loss when the Lord Jesus comes, when we stand before him? So I wonder tonight, how's your endurance going? Are you enduring hardness? Hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? The Christian life, brethren, is a blessed life. It contains many blessings, many joys, much happiness. But we must be realistic that there is hardness as well. There are hardships. There are those times when we are pressed, as Paul said, at times even beyond life. They despaired even of life itself. But as we, with God's strength, keep on keeping on, we can expect the Lord's blessings, his rewards. Remember that you serve a risen Saviour. Meditate on the Word of God. Draw strength from the Word of God. Consider the future rewards, the future that awaits us in glory, and that'll keep you faithful. It'll keep you going in this day when there are so many, so many who just give up in the Christian life. Had enough. Had enough, Pastor. I'm out of here. I hope that's not what you're thinking. I hope that you'll learn from the Word of God here tonight that the Lord requires us to be faithful, to stick with the stuff. And as we do that, we can expect his blessing. Let's bow for prayer. Father, help us to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Lord, that we might endure all things for the elect's sakes. Lord, that we might have a greater perspective in the hardships that come our way. Lord, that there is an end in view. Lord, that if we're just faithful, we can, and if we will just continue to toil, there will be fruits. Lord, there will be others saved. And Lord, this will make all the suffering worth it, all the hardships worth it. So Lord, help us individually. Lord, Father, you know that some, under the sound of my voice tonight, are dealing with hardships in their personal lives. Help them, Lord, to have strength in the inner man. Lord, even if their emotions are low, and even if they're physically low, Lord, that they might know deep down inside a strengthening that can only come by the Spirit of God. Strengthen them with might by thy Spirit in the inner man, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Father, then help us in our church as we seek to be faithful to the gospel. Lord, help us not to get discouraged when the lips of slander do their work. Lord, when we are maligned, like Paul perhaps, and presented as an evildoer, help us just to endure faithfully, to stay under it, to keep going, Lord, anticipating more souls, precious souls, to be set free. We ask that you would save more souls, Lord. We pray that you would use this church to be a soul-saving centre. Lord, a lifeboat in the stormy seas of this sinful world. Bless the upcoming meetings with Brother Webb. Lord, bless even just our regular meetings here. Lord, we know that each time the word is open, there is opportunity and possibility for someone to be saved. And so we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.